Welcome to Off Topic But On Point. I'm Adet Beer, and here we embrace the unscripted, the unconventional, and dare I say it, the unexpected. Because sometimes the best breakthroughs happen when you go off topic. Each episode, we dive into business, leadership, and life, exploring the moments that challenge us, shape us, and push us forward. So whether we're tackling entrepreneurship, collaboration, mindset, or even navigating resistance, one thing's for sure, we'll always bring it back to what matters. So get ready for candid perspectives, thoughtful insights that will keep you engaged, inspired, and maybe a little bit uncomfortable in the best possible way. As usual, I have with me my beautiful friends, Dr. Yanine de Kabu, also known as the Intentionalist, and Pastor Christo Pretorius, the Expander. Let's go.
Hey, welcome back. I am so happy to have you here. As usual, we have Pastor C and Dr. J, my two favorite friends. I was going to say three favorite friends, but I mean, maybe I am one of my favorite friends. So let's go with that. Hello, welcome.
Hello, Dad. It's so great to be back. I'm excited for today.
I'm nervous.
Yeah, thank you
very
much.
You're excited and I'm nervous.
I wanted to say thank you for having me back, but then I realized I have to be back because it's three friends, you know? So, but it's always great speaking to you. I must say this has become one of my favorite moments within the week, within the month. I really look forward to your discussions every time. And I learned so much from every one of you. And thank you once again for having me. It's really an honor and looking forward to today's discussion.
Well, for those of you who are unsure about how this works, we are rotating running the podcast conversations. And it's completely unscripted, unfiltered, unplanned. One person gets assigned a day. They show up with a list of questions and we just have conversations. So anything you hear, unless there's cahooting behind the scenes, which I'm pretty sure there isn't, but if there was, there, it's all just, this is what it is. This is how we see the world. And today we have probably one of the best questioning people I know asking us questions today. I don't know anyone who asks questions better than Pastor C. So Pastor C, I am nervous and excited. Over to you.
Thank you very much for allowing me to ask the questions today. It's definitely something I enjoy. So yeah, let's get cracking right into it. For those of you that are watching, that are listening today, you know, we just discussed things that really matter. And today I want to start out asking the following. Both of you have your own podcast, but what would you say makes this section or this segment different from what you do on your own podcast?
The first thing that comes to mind is friends. Yeah, friends and real conversation. I think it's not that your own podcast isn't scripted. It's also what's coming from your heart and it's an overflow. It comes from the overflow, which is great. But the moment you can share it with somebody else and it's a like-minded thinker and they can actually relate and talk back, there's this something that happens on the inside of your stomach that is warm and fuzzy and turns and makes like butterflies, and it's just the most beautiful feeling. So for me, that is what makes this so, so special.
Thank you. I can definitely attest to that. You know, the camaraderie that takes place is definitely what fuels the conversation. I did for you.
I think I agree. I don't think I know. I completely resonate with what Dr. J said. It's so awesome to have a conversation. It's a conversation. It's not a bland cue here, do that. It's a conversation about things. And I feel like I can say with some moderation, but I can say what I think and I can give my perspective without having to filter it or to worry about, are your feelings going to be okay? Or have I now offended you? Because you are both mature enough to just go, that's her perspective. And she's allowed to have it because my perspective is X, Y, and Z. And I feel like on my podcast, when I'm on my own, it's just me. And I don't always have a lot to say when it's just me. I love having conversations with people. And when I'm interviewing someone, it's about them. So then I don't get to say, well, my perspective is X, because it's not about my perspective. It's about your story. What are we amplifying with you? So this is for me, definitely, it's our friend. I have very few people in my life that have been around as long as you two have, which is so cool. I have the privilege of having history with you, which I don't have with people around me at the moment, obviously. And it's just great to be able to be real, to just say, well, these are the things. Some of it, I said it on the LinkedIn post that you commented, that you reshared. This is really my favorite conversation. It both challenges me, some of the conversations we've had, I've had to like hold back the tears. And it's also the coolest place for me to be. So why not?
Awesome. I really appreciate you saying you're holding back the tears, because even this week I was just thinking about, you know, today and getting the questions lined up and ready and just, you know, doing my process. And yeah, I had to stop the tears from flowing as well, because both of you have really impacted my life in so many ways. And hopefully in the next weeks to come, I will be able to share, you know, those moments with you as well, and, you know, make you aware of the places and areas where you challenge me, where you keep me accountable, and where we grow together. Both of you mentioned family or her friends, you know, which for me is like we're family. And I like to frame things or give it a title, because then there's at least a direction or a purpose. So if there's a title for today, it will simply be the becoming of Yanine the Kabu, the becoming of Odette the Bear. I want to know, what impact, Dr. Yanine, what impact did your parents have upon your life, upon you growing up, upon your leadership, upon your business? Any principles that you can take from their life and share with us today?
I know that I had two very different perspectives, which I treasure. When my mom was very, very corporate, my dad was he was an entrepreneur. He's still today a business owner. So I had the two opposites. And from when I was still really young, I realized that there's something special in this. So I intentionally tuned my mind, my thoughts, to learn what each one of them has. One of the things that I can say from my mom's side is, though she was in corporate, they were already doing hybrid work, and she was working from home for a corporate company. I mean, the office was there. It was a home office, but the entire team was coming there. I love the setup. And by the time I walked into my first boardroom, it was not something strange for me. I could just walk in and operate, because I saw that around me every single day. I knew how to hold a conversation. I knew how to manage a meeting and to do all these kind of things, because that's what I saw that was normal to me. How to work, how to speak, how to write an email. I know that sounds silly, but if I look, I'm concerned because there is, and things like that. So I saw that as a privilege with my dad. It was the fire and the passion in me. Yes, I know how to do it right. It was like I said, I was always busy with some kind of business, selling at school. Never knew that it was even what it was called. I love that kind of stuff. And I remember that dad that, listen, I know he was running a business at that time. And I said to him, listen, I know what I'm going to do with my life. I'm going to come and work for you. And he was like, no, you're going to go study. And I was very upset, you know. And he's like, I don't actually care what you study. Just go study. I ended up going to study marketing and business, or business and marketing. And I really enjoyed it. And I came back with a fresh perspective where I could combine the two. So yes, today I am running my own business, but with a global corporate mindset and a little bit more relaxed. So I managed to like take the two and make the best for my world of that. So in business, that was definitely my growing up. That was definitely one of the greatest things that I could take away from it.
You mentioned that you wanted to work for your dad. And I mean, I really like his personality. He reminds me so much of my dad. And even I think yesterday you were mentioning one of his quotes, and I was like, that's exactly what my dad also says, you know. But didn't work for your dad. You went into marketing. I recall a story where you received a promotion And I really would like to ask if you're willing to just share the comment that your mom made when you received the promotion.
Yes, I was working for a company at the time, and it was after I studied, and I grew very quickly in the ranks. Like, I'm talking in a matter of months, under a year. I literally just, that was my very, very first job. That was my very first CV, and I handed it in. And at the time, they had an marketing assistant position. So that's what I was going to. But when I started, it was actually more like a receptionist picking up the phone. I had no clue what I'm doing. It was the first time I started at a company. Like, I really had no clue. It was a massive company. This was, and my boss at the time was an extremely busy person. So it's not like he could have taught me. But anyway, figured it out. Then truly filled the marketing assistant position. And then from there, because he's very busy, I took on a lot of responsibility. I ran with it. And then months later, I was promoted. The actual promotion came for marketing manager of the group, which I thought was very grand. I really thought that was pretty amazing for the time I was there and all of that. And I remember driving home. Yeah, I remember driving home, and I didn't even wait to phone my mom. Like, I didn't get into the car and phone my mom. I waited until I was at Michelle Avenue, almost home, you know, so that I could just compose myself and just be really excited, but still calm, cool, and collected when I phone her and tell her this news. And I remember as I came around the circle there by Reading onto Michelle, if you know Alberton's side, you will understand where that is. And I remember I phoned her, and her reaction was definitely not as excited as what I was, you know. In fact, it was the opposite. She was not excited. She said she was. She said, "I'm very happy for you." But in her voice, I could hear, "You are not very happy for you." I could hear there was no happiness. There was no excitement. In fact, there was almost a little bit of a fear factor in concern in her voice. Like, what was this company doing? And yeah, that was very disappointing for me. I remember the disappointment as I really achieved something. I mean, I'm climbing the corporate ladder. This is your language. This is how it's supposed to be. And so, like, why are you not happy? Why are you not excited? And her answer was the fact that, you know what, you're in this very young. You do not yet have the experience for what it takes to be in that role. And my thought was, like, honestly, like, at that time, it's like, probably very, that's really what I thought. But I'm going to make it. I'm going to get the experience. And that was my thinking. But honestly, I didn't know what I was getting into. It was hard. It was hard. And today, when I look back, and years later, actually, when I look back, I was like, I understand the fear factor in her voice. I understand what she was saying. Because it's easier to walk into a position that you've done for such a long time. So it's obvious for you to get it. Or it's because you've been doing the work. They just kind of, that's the obvious next step. Then versus where I was, where that was the position that they wanted me to be in, but they didn't really know me. I mean, it was literally a matter of months. Yes, I've got the degree. I've got the degree, but I didn't have the experience in the industry that I was working in, how to apply what I've learned to the industry. So that was a sobering moment for me. Needless to say.
Imagine.
So what? And I did learn really fast, but I wouldn't want to wish that upon anyone. And that's what she saw that day is, I don't wish this upon you. Yes, she was happy. She was ecstatic, but she knew what was lying ahead was a really steep learning curve.
Wow. Yeah, speaking about, you know, two perspectives, you know, growing up with your parents, you know, coming from different business backgrounds. I mean, that for me also, you know, just two perspectives, you know, one being really happy. Well, in her words, not in your feelings, very happy, but also, you know, concerned. We'll definitely circle back on this. Thank you for sharing. I've got loads of questions that is just brimming on the inside. Odette, I want to hear from you. Like, how was your upbringing? What role did parents play within your life?
I do have the two perspectives. I had two personalities. My dad is very clever. very, very, very clever. And my mom is very loyal and faithful. So I think there was lots of stuff, lots and lots of stuff. But I think for me, the biggest thing that my dad proved was anything's possible. I remember him studying when I was at school. My dad has always been studying. I think he got his doctorate maybe just before he left South Africa. So he's always been studying. He's a really clever cookie. And he's kind of like, you know how your parents set the level for you? He's just always, from an academic perspective, made sure that, like, he sets the level. And then I'm like, well, if you can do it, then, I mean, I must be able to do it. I'm not stupid. I must be able to do it. So for me, it was just never a question. It was just like, you're studying. And when I had, I wrote exams while I was pregnant. So obviously that, I wish it didn't, but it did. And my mom was just, my mom's a very strong lady and what she's had to go through, and she's just never gave up. So from her perspective, it was about resilience. It was about just sticking to it. And when you don't feel it, so you just do it. And much like Dr. J, I was smosing and selling things long before I knew what I was doing. I mean, the poor people in our street, we were knocking down every week. It was something else. I was like, well, we've got potpourri and we're selling this. And again, no, we don't need it. But okay, well, you're not going away, so best we buy it. You know, we did as well. And funny that you mentioned very first job outside of waitering and running a restaurant. So like real job, because running a restaurant's not a real job. Sorry, guys, if you do have a restaurant, but I was a kid. I was was a receptionist at a law firm, actually. And they fired me. What I was doing, I was being a receptionist. I was there, I don't know, maybe 2 days. Looked at me and said to me, you are useless. And I was like, damn it, I just don't understand all these buttons. And she was very, like, you know, because she was very important. She's the best receptionist. And I can't even hold a reception. Are you joking? You can't even be a receptionist. It's God's hand upon my life. Because, no, thank you. Nothing wrong. Again, people who are receptionists to me, and there was more for me. So thank you, job, because that was not my thing.
Wow. You know, I'm just having the best of time. You know, in a world where you got to be so careful what you say, how you say it, you know, that you just lay it out the way it is. And I so much admire that, you know, about you. For me, it's like a breath of fresh air. I so enjoy it, because here's somebody that just speaks the truth, speaks her truth. Does it come from your mom? Does it come from your dad? Which side of the family does it come from? Or is that just you?
They're both a little bit feisty.
Interesting. You mentioned your dad received his doctorate before he left South Africa.
No, before we left.
Oh, before you left. Okay. So I want to talk a little bit about that. So you literally backed up everything, and well, not everything. I'm sure you left some stuff behind, and you moved, you know, across the world. What are the tangible things that you couldn't fit in a suitcase that you had to leave behind?
A little hand and footprints in clay for my kid. Oh, I miss those. Yeah. A wedding album. From my family. That would have been nice.
Absolutely. I can't imagine. So the second question was, you know, what are the things you left behind that you only now realize you needed the most? What would you say those things are, apart from family?
Honestly, nothing. We didn't bring a container. I didn't bring anything with me. And initially it was like, oh, like, are you crazy? You should pack up your house. And I was of the view that I don't know what I'm going into, so I don't know whether it makes sense to pack my bed. Like, I know it's different to South Africa, but I didn't know how different. So we didn't take anything. We had our clothes and we kind of just figured we'll figure it out as we go. And I'm glad we did that because the initial thought was, oh, I'm going to need these files and I'm going to need these documents. And sure, I miss my book. Like I have some really cool books that I would love to get back and I will. But I don't need any of that. I have everything is pretty much on a hard drive somewhere. Everything is in cloud storage. My knowledge you can't take away from me. My really good relationships you can't take away from me. They go, they change and we interact differently. But is there anything I should have taken or wish I took other than the sentimental stuff? No, nothing I had back there would have equipped me for what I'm doing now anyway. It was all just part of the toolbox and it's actually all just skills and principles and, you know, like.
Thanks, Frogs.
Speaking of the making of, what was the hardest thing for you in this, let's call it a transition?
Letting go of my corporate identity, I would say. Like there's the family stuff that remains hard. That doesn't change. I don't care who says what. The people who are like, live, they've cut off that part and they've just, it's a clean cut and they've burnt it. It's the only way you can cope with being separated so far from your loved one. But the hardest thing was coming here, having no history, no relationship, no network, no nothing. I worked really hard in South Africa to have what I had, to have the reputation I had. And then you come here and you're nobody. It was so bad. We walked into a church. And because the culture is so different here, the pastor ignored a housewife, turned around and only spoke to Johan because only the men are capable. And I walked out of that church very offended. Are you kidding me? I am educated stuff. I work really hard. I've earned my right to be here and you ignore my existence? What? So that was probably the hardest thing because you've got to, for me, it was having to separate what I did from who I am. Now it sounds obvious. Oh, I did. What you do is not who you are. I get that. Until you don't have it. Then we talk again. Like, Pastor C, I don't know if you remember, we had a conversation just before we left and I said to you, people talk about we live by faith. I can tell you what it is. I've been there. People who tell me they live by faith and tomorrow is just a guarantee. What it is. You don't know that like it's a different dimension altogether and it's the same with that. I had to go. That's what I did. Who I am. And nobody knows me here. And it was actually a little bit freeing. I remember running one morning going, it's actually so nice. Running in the street. Nobody knows me. Nobody recognizes me. Like I can chip and fall on my face and nobody would care because nobody knows me. That's pretty cool. You can go to the shop in your slippers and pajamas and no one's going to bat an eyelid because they don't know you. But equally, that's what was hard because nobody knows you. And then it's, you don't realize as an adult how hard it is to build relationships with people until you have to do it out of need. Because now it's like, oh, actually, trusting people is hard. Like the culture's different here. South Africans just say it. Australians don't say it. So I think that would have been the...
Wow.
Yeah, that would have been the hardest.
I appreciate you opening up and, you know, digging deep, being vulnerable in sharing some of those things. I'm going to circle back as well. There's a little bit more I want to jump into. Before I do, my wife sent, well, we send each other these reels on Instagram. And it's so funny that, you know, then you get the reel where somebody, you know, shows about husband and wife sending reels to each other. Like that's a reel on Instagram. But anyway, so she sent me this one and it was so fitting for me and maybe it helps you as well, Odette, is they say that if you leave a very successful career, it takes you 5 years to get back to the place that you were when it comes to influence and execution.
So good. 1 year to go.
However, if you leave that place and you take your team with, you don't even skip a beat.
Wow.
And it was really interesting and obviously very fitting, you know, where I find myself at this point in time, you know, and giving me perspective, realizing like, okay, you're like, you're in a building phase. Don't beat your heart on yourself, but don't take it too easy. You've got work to do. But just realize the importance of team and having people within your life. I think it's absolutely valuable. And both of you play, you know, to an extent that part within my life. I want to circle back, Dr. Janine, to something that I heard that you said. And so many times people will say things, but what we hear might be different. You were speaking about, you know, your mom and, you know, the advice that she gave you. And you said something that this is what I heard. You had inexperience, but yet you had the responsibility that came with the position.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think many times people find themselves in that place where you feel you're inexperienced for the job at hand. What else in your life have you found where you in that place where you were inexperienced for the job at hand or for the responsibility? And how have you navigated through that?
I think I felt like that more than once, and I recognized that, and I was like, I don't like this feeling at all. That was definitely one of them. And if I go back in my life, I think when I went to university, I felt the same kind of weight. It's like, what am I doing? Because the degree that I studied was not an easy one. And I was like, the question I asked myself at that time was, who qualified you for this? Like, how did you even get to this place? So I felt it again. And I definitely also felt that in matric, like, I don't know what I'm doing. And then I started to realize, like, hold on, these are momentous occasions within your life. And that's why you are feeling that way. The last time I felt like this was at John Maxwell when I went there. Once again, the youngest person in the room doing what I'm doing. And then I realized, okay, this is why this is happening. Because you are very driven, very motivated. So you do get into rooms way before you probably should be there. Therefore, you feel inexperienced. And then I started studying again, and that feeling wanted to creep up. And I was like, hold on a moment. You've learned quite years. So you are not starting from scratch. You are actually starting from experience. And that's become part of me. It's like when I start something new, I don't have to feel out of depth anymore because I'm not starting from scratch. I'm starting from experience. And that principle has really become part of my life. It's like if I do start, because I do start a whole lot of new things, then I do the past into the archives and I'm like, what have you learned about this up to now? What are some of the things that you can take and put into this? And I speak about that same principle a lot in marketing, is that actually most things have not changed. The principle of marketing, the principle business is exactly the same. The principle of business has remained the same. It's just the application of it is different because now we're using apps and we're using websites and those type of things. Previously, we used a brochure and we used the business card. But how you do it, and that's why I said that you said it earlier, Rade, principle, that thing does not change, principle. So the principle of life, the principle of business, the principle of marketing is not going to change ever. It's just the way that we execute it is going to change. We're going to have different tools to execute it. So when I realized that, I realized that I don't have to feel so out of depth with new things because I have the principle because I'm a principle kind of person. So I'm never starting again. I will always start out of or from experience. That's really helped me. I felt like it many times before until I realized that. I don't get nervous. It does not say that I don't get excited, but I now know how to channel that, where to and to use that for energy and to put it into the project rather for stress, anxiety, for that feeling of tiredness that it literally like burns you down.
Well, yeah, I like what you said at the end. You know, you use it for energy. There was a study that they did when they tried to capture like the effects of stress within your body. And they found that the same level of stress within your body in a stressful situation versus 100-meter sprint athletes. They say it's the exact same feeling and it's the exact same experience. The only difference is the sprinter sees it as adrenaline and he uses it to its benefit, where people in a stressful situation, you know, see it as a weakness and they almost succumb to it. I must just go look where that study is. But I thought it was so fitting what you were saying, because it's easy to come to a place and say, okay, but I don't go through those tough experiences anymore. You know, things are easy for me. You know, things are, well, I've grown, I've developed. And then the question is, great, have you grown and developed, or have you on purpose not put yourself in those positions where you are stretching? And the way that you frame it is brilliant, is that you recognize the moment is coming, the feeling is coming, and then you counteract that with the years of experience or the past successes that you have, and you built from there. Thank you very much. That is a quote that I think you shared it with me in the beginning of my journey 2 years ago. If you didn't, I definitely wrote it down today. Because today it hit different. You don't start from scratch, you start from experience. That is absolutely, absolutely great. Odette, what would you say, or what has really been like a defining moment, you know, in your life? You obviously had, you know, the life, the challenges, you know, the career path in South Africa, and then obviously not the boat trip, but the plane across the ocean, you know, literally have to do it all over again. But in both of those worlds, or both of those, you know, journeys, like, what would you say has been the biggest defining moment of your life? And how's it shaped who you are today?
I think there were two. One was when I was very young, and to use your words, Dr. Jake Cocky, wow. The 21-year-old me, wow. I was in Kenya, and I was at a dinner with the chief operating officer. I would assume at the Ventana Bank. She took us out for dinner because we were there working. And she looked at me and she asked me something. I don't quite remember her words, but I do remember my response. And my response was, I think she said something like, what does the future hold for you? And I looked at her without even batting an eyelid, very straight. And I said, I'm destined for greatness. So I don't know what the future holds, but I know it's going to be great. Now, I appreciate it probably didn't land how I felt. Picture, but that for me was like, you back yourself and you know that there's more. And that was at the time was like, oh, sure, maybe I should not have said that. That's a bit arrogant. No, wasn't arrogant. Because recently I've been in a situation where I don't know if I would say it's imposter syndrome, but it's the, you don't have the same evidence that you had in South Africa. I don't have the same people. But my skills haven't changed. My principles haven't changed. Nothing's changed. Everything remains the same. I'm the same person, except I've now learned more. And there was a situation where my skills were questioned and sort of, you know, can you really do this? And there was a couple of days where I was like, oh, wow. Yeah, of course. No, you don't know what you're doing. You don't know what you're doing. You don't know where this, and like something settled in me and saying to that woman at 21, I was destined for greatness. It doesn't matter where I go, it'll be great. And I was like, wait a minute. No. You will not take from me what I will not. You learn, you start from experience, not start from scratch. This is not my first team. This is not my first business. This is not even the first networking event I've been to. So actually, no. When that happened, I'm back. let's do this. And it's, I think, confidence. That's all it has to be. Yes. It's all it has to be. You have to just be able to say, yes, there's noise. But you know what? It's just noise. You don't have to know me. You even have to know my story. But you need to know because I'm equipped and I'm competent.
Yeah.
So don't think for one second that you are going to undermine what I've learned. I am skilled. What I have learned, you, what I've forgotten, you still have to learn. So no. But I had to go through the whole.
There's the quote. There's the quote.
That was.
It's exactly what I said yesterday. What Pastor C was saying is like what my dad used to say. What I've forgotten, you still have to learn.
You said there was two things. The one was 21 years old in Kenya. What have been the other one?
The other one was when I woke up and I was like,
okay.
That. And maybe this morning, I had an event this morning. And for those of you who don't know, I, out of frustration, started a networking group for women in the hills. And I started it because I knew that this is what I needed to do. And we sometimes think because when something starts small, it's not meant to be, or like it's not going to work, or you're wrong. No, not so. Do not despise a small beginning. I had a woman walk in this morning, and at the end of the event, she said to me, I was wondering yesterday whether or not I should come to this thing. And I read, and I'm meticulous about words. Words matter. So when I put something on paper, I have thoughts about the words. It's not just bleh. And she said, there was something in the words that you used that made me feel like I belong here. And you gave me permission to show up. And now that I did, I feel so safe that I've actually relaunched my business. And I was like, yes, even if you're the only one who walks out with impact today, that's why we do this. So for me, it was like, that's it.
You draw me into your life story and your conversation when you said you had an event this morning. I thought like, gee whiz, what time? Like 6 o'clock, because it's only 9. And then I realized, oh wait, you're not with us. You on the other side of the world. But that's just the magnetic your voice and your conversation is, and the stories that you tell. Wow, taking us back all the way to you at 21 years old. Dr. Anin, what was some remarkable things that happened in your life when you were 21 years old that you could maybe share with us today that comes to mind?
You got a promotion, didn't you, hear the first time?
That was it, 21? That was around, yeah, it was around that time.
Oh, wow.
Probably,
wow.
Yeah, it could be end of 21, 22. It was exactly around there, yeah.
Wow, crazy stuff.
There was something you said now, Dad, that made me think back, or perspective, is everything that happens to us must be put into perspective. I always say that if I have one prayer, like if God gives me that same request, like he gave Solomon, what do you want? Then my answer would be the understanding of time. Can I understand time? Yeah. Because the more time goes by, the more I realize that there was a plan and a purpose to everything. He was saying about the never despise small beginnings. You know, I was thinking of Marketing Cosmetics, the marketing program. It's my flagship program for marketing that I do. And I was thinking, I say that, and I have to limit it to 20 people per program. Well, the reason is it's very intense, but it's also very personal. And I want to be there with the entrepreneur walking the journey with them. And like with any other course that you do, studies, you start with a big group of people and then they slowly go down as they are able to manage. And at the end, it's like a little funnel. At the end, you have a couple that literally pulls through, but they are great success. And never despise small beginnings reminds me of that. Is you're going to start with one group of people, but I can almost guarantee you that you might have one or two left of those after a couple of years, but then you will have a whole new group of people. If I can help one company each time that I do marketing cosmetics, then in the next 10 to 20 years, it would be a whole group of entrepreneurs that truly has a success. Mm-hmm. And that's what I mean by truly understanding the meaning of time. because we want everything to happen so fast and we want to impact so many people right now that we don't understand what that means over time. Because if we have a little bit of time, which I believe we are gifted with, is time. If we have a little bit of time and we truly focus and zone in on one person, one group, one company, whatever the case is, the impact of that company will be so much greater because you will truly change their life. Do I believe you can change more than one person at a time? Absolutely. But it also has to be that they are totally invested. I'm not saying we can't impact millions of people or hundreds of thousands of people, but I'm thinking destiny shaping changes to make that in somebody's life. That involves time, but it involves a decision from them as well. And that's what you sometimes don't have. It looks like we are impacting thousands of people because you see their face on a screen or you have a conversation with them. But the ones you truly impact are the ones that choose over a period of time. So it's perspective, Odette, that you reminded me of that when you said that. It's putting things into perspective, understanding time, and then understanding the impact that we make.
Speaking about time, as we our time is running out, we speak about becoming, or if I can frame maybe differently, the making of. What would be one thing that you're currently struggling with for both of you, one thing that you're currently struggling with or working through? Because if you are becoming, there's always things that you work on. And I'll frame it differently maybe is that, yeah, what are the things that you're working on? You know, it's a challenge, it's a struggle. And then in closing, you know, could you, you know, just give the audience, you know, just some advice, you know, maybe they're facing some challenges. They are becoming, you know, the person that they are, and they don't know what to do, where to go, what's the next step. So what are the challenges that you are currently facing? And then just one piece of advice for the audience out there on how they continue to pursue, you know, becoming the person that they were destined to be. I'll start off with Dr. Janine and it will end with Odette.
I think it's not a now struggle. It's something that I'm kind of always doing this with, but I'm starting to handle it better, is the fact that I know that there is so much that I can give, that I want to give, that I am giving. I wish I had greater influence. And I know that comes with time. I know that comes with consistency. I know that comes with, it's almost like compound interest, that kind of effect. It will get there. But sometimes it hurts. And that's what I struggle with, is the hurt in between. It's like I see people bleeding and I'm like, I really know what you're going through. I really know where you are. And I really do have the antidote for that. So that's something I struggle with often, more often than not. I don't know, to be very honest, if I want to not struggle with that. And I know this sounds so controversial, but the reason I say that brings the passion. John Maxwell has this saying, what makes you laugh, what makes you cry, what makes you sing? And I think that is a burning passion on the inside, as I see that and I really have the desire, but it hurts because I feel with that person. So that's something that I struggle with, is what if I did have that platform? And I'm not saying we don't have a platform. I'm not saying we're not making an influence. I'm not saying we're not making impact, because I do. I see that. I see that with people around. I see that more often than not. Even here, I was walking and I had some strange looks of people looking at me like they know me, but they don't know me, and they want to say something, but they're not saying something. And I realized, you know, that's, I've seen it. They've heard it. They just don't know how to approach. And that's what I mean. We are making impact. We are. But there's that thing. What if there was more? Like, because we could help more people. Because my intention is never for myself. It's never been. It's truly to help other businesses. It's truly to help individuals to grow. So that's definitely something that I struggle with at the moment.
Final piece of advice for somebody that is becoming?
I would say to make it simple for yourself. It's definitely not simple. But if you can simplify the process for yourself, it becomes less overwhelming. I can take myself as an example. Is the reason intentionality was born is because I was overwhelmed with all the things I had to do to grow, to be the best, to be the best, my best version, not be the best, be my best version. It became so overwhelming. Who must I follow? What must I do? How am I going to do that? And that's where the intentionality was birthed. I was like, okay, what can I handle? I can handle 10 things. I can handle my physical health. I can handle my relationship with God. I can handle the way I eat, the people I spend my time with, my relationships, my finances. I can handle these 10 things because I can actually count them on my fingers. So I had to simplify the process for myself. And therefore, it's now easy for me. So my advice to somebody that's upcoming is, yes, listen to the advice. You have to take advice because you're constantly growing to find a system for yourself. You have to find a process for yourself that is simple enough for you to follow that you will stick to. And then everything else actually just kind of comes onto that. So simplify the process for yourself and what fits to you and your identity. And everything else will kind of come and add on to that, but you'll be able to flourish.
Thank you very much. I think that is definitely valuable insight there from years of experience and from different perspectives. Thank you very much, Dr. Janine. Odette, what are the thing that's a challenge at this point in time?
Much like Dr. J, it's not a now thing. It's an always thing, but it's now a more burning thing, and it's my need to just can we get this, can we just get there now? We grew up in a microwave culture. Like, we grew up with the microwave, stick it in 2 minutes, there's your noodles. And unfortunately that like translates into everything. I want it now, I want it done, I want to get there, I want to. And my struggle as a whole is that I have to remind myself two things. The first is, you are not powerful enough to prevent the purposes of God in your life. You are called, you are anointed, you are appointed. Nothing you do is going to change that. Let's just be real. Ain't that powerful, girl? And the second thing is, you need to slow down. Pastor C, we had a conversation about, would you speak to your kids like this or would you break it down for them slowly? The need for me to slow down for my kids, for my family, for the people around me. Everything I do is a double time. I listen to podcasts double time. I listen to sermon even when I listen to everything is double time except my worship music because that would just be weird. But everything else, like when you send me a voice note, it's a double time. I can't wait to listen to you in normal time. Are you kidding? I hate listening to webinars live because I have to listen to the way they speak. And if they pause for long periods of time, I'm like, so for me, the challenge is reminding myself to slow down and to slow down, not just so that I can enjoy the moment, but because there's people that need to come along with me and they don't operate on the double time. They're not there. And that should be okay. I need to remind myself that it's okay. So that's the thing that I struggle with. How do I deal with it? I just have to remind myself, like, that's, you know, like it's an awareness of where you are. For the businesses out there, I mean, I've been doing business my whole life, but I've been running a full-time business since I moved here. And that's now, why are we not there yet? Why is this taking so long? That we all have that desire of, I should have been there already, but actually that's not true. You're exactly where you're supposed to be. You're not behind. You're not late. You're exactly where you're supposed to be. And I was reminded today, I don't know if it was listening to Pastor Nikki's sermon on Sunday night or whether it was him talking at the business meeting, but something he said made me realize this concept of yes, this is what it was. He said that your purpose is, God will always fulfill his purpose in you. And we all have a unique purpose. Now, it's not news, like it's not rocket science, you know that. But if that's true, then is it not also true that you cannot compete because your purpose is different to my purpose? And your thing that you have to do, only you can do. Nobody can compete with the thing that you have to do. And it's the same in business. Yes, there are bajillions of businesses that deliver the same service, that sell the same product. All of those things are true. But not all of those businesses, not one of those businesses can fulfill the purpose that you're called to fulfill in business. There is a thing that only you can do. So don't petition. Put your head down and do what you're supposed to do, because they cannot compete. They'll try. They want to do their thing. They want to copy your stuff. That's flattery. It's fine. Just focus on what you need to do, because at the end of the day, that competition, that fear, that anxiety, that bubbles, it's not real. It's there to get you off your game. It's there to freak you out. And the honest to goodness truth is, if you will just stick with it, if you will just do what you're supposed to do, take the people on the journey process. He always talks about the fact that you've got a team that you need to bring on the journey. Bring your team on the journey. It is so
crucial.
You are not too powerful to prevent the purposes of God. I hope I heard it right. You are not too powerful to prevent.
You cannot. You cannot prevent the purposes of God. None of us possess that power. We think we do. Let's not kid ourselves. I have on many occasions thought, stuffed up. You missed the mark. It's Gonski now. It's not true. You cannot. Please. You think too highly of yourself. And I know I'm talking to myself. And God created the universe. You're going to stop what he wants in your life? Are you for real?
No, man. Come on. And that for me was like, then I can breathe. It's fine. It's fine. I'm learning something here. Good. So on that
note, I can maybe say something about microwave generation. I lost so much yesterday because where we are staying, there's DSTV. So it's, I suppose it's like cable, right? And now I'm watching the twins, which is 11. I'm watching them watching TV and I cannot understand. They are worse than adults because they're channel hopping the entire time. I'm like, this is frustrating because nobody can finish watching something. And at some point, I saw Ava and she literally went like, like frustrated. She's like, I don't understand this TV. And I was like, I don't understand what you mean. She's like, I don't understand. Not everything finishes like 10 minutes. It's finished. And then they say it's coming up tomorrow, but I don't know when. And then I realized, they don't know what an ad break is. So every time there's an ad break, they think the story is finished.
It's finished
because they grew up with Netflix.
Very true.
And they are frustrated because they cannot skip through the adverts. And that's the reality. That's the reality of a microwave generation. That's where we're going. It's like, my kids don't know what an ad break is. It's very frustrating. Right. They're growing up with this thing that everything is literally, and I'm thankful for that. And they don't have to wait for anything. We just, as parents, we're just going to have to nurture that. Because then I realize, goodness, if we think it's fast for us and we think that it's fast paced, the life, how much more is that they don't even have the patience for an ad break because they're just cutting what they're already doing in half. So yeah, microwave generation, it reminded me of that. It was a good law, but it's also, it's something we have to think about. If we think it's fast now, it's going to be so much faster in the future.
Yeah, absolutely. To everybody listening.
See, before we go, I would love to hear your one thing that you would leave the audience with.
Yeah, what did you learn today? Like, you asked a lot of questions, but I know also you learn when you ask. So what did you learn?
And you were making copious notes. So
I have. I've even put out the highlighters because I need to. I need to make sure that the right principles are allocated to the right author, if I can say that. You know what I've learned today is that I have the privilege to sit with two powerful and two dynamic women in life. You know, many times we say that, you know, I'm a businesswoman or a businessman or I'm in ministry. I've realized today that I have the privilege to call you friends, and you are dynamic women in life. Your perspective, the value that you bring is incredible. And I want to ask the audience, you know, to send in your questions. You know, what if you could ask any one of these two women one thing about becoming? Because what I've heard today and what I know about your life, there is so much more. And my wish is that people can tap into this, because your lives, both of your lives, are destined for greatness. Yes, there's a lot of things that I've looked at in my own life, but I can't even begin to share anything of that, because there's just so much value that I've seen within your life. And it's been a pleasure to host this segment. It was on purpose that I didn't want to answer any questions, because I just want to learn. I just want to learn from your life. You know, there are two things I want to close with, and I'm sorry, Odette, I'm not going to answer your question, unfortunately, unless we go over time. But I need to share this with the both of you. You know, on social media of Tianin, there's a trend of what a POV, point of view. You know, but when I listen to you, there's a POV, but I'll call it perspective of value. Not point of view, but perspective of value. You definitely have so much value in the perspective that you carried. And I would just encourage you to dig deeper into that perspective. You know, even from the outset, you said that you grew up having two perspectives. And I can see it throughout your life. I can see it throughout everything, you know, that you share. And that's definitely something that I'll take with me. Odette, you mentioned something about the story of this morning's event. Sorry that I missed that. Permission to show up. You know, when I listen to your life story and, you know, the challenges that you've gone through also from a young age, you know, and some of the things you had to fight, you know, inward more than on the outside, is I can definitely say this, is that you have permission to show up. Absolutely. You know, you have permission to show up. And it's not permission that I'm giving you today. It's not permission that somebody is giving you. It's permission that you yourself are giving to you, because of what you have already accomplished. And then finally, I want to ask each one of you a question, but this is not for answering today. It's for you to go think about. It's for you to go ponder. It's when you are running, Odette, and you're on the road, think about this. Dr. Tianin, when you're on the beach, or when you're on your bike, riding through the beautiful landscape, I want you to think about the following things. Is Odette, where is there? You said we have to slow down. You know, we want to become, we want to get there. My question to you is simply, where is there? And Dr. Tianin, who are they? The people you want to influence, who are they? And on that note, I'll say thank you for listening today. It was a privilege to have you as our audience, and obviously my privilege to have these two incredible friends that has joined us. I don't know if any one of you want to close, or are we wrapping it up?
We'll wrap it up right there. You did a sterling job. Please send in your questions. Pop them into odette@amplifycoach.biz. There will be a email address in the show notes. Send us something on social media. Send us a DM. You connect with all of us. Post it on Substack. Comment. Say something. Otherwise, you will be stuck listening to the questions that we ask. And that burning question that you have will remain a burning question, and it will forever be a mystery. So on that, send me your questions. Thank you so much for joining us. Join us next time. I won't tell you who's going to be talking and who's going to be asking the questions, but just know that two people will be in the hot seat, and one person will be blissfully sitting and watching them squeal. Have a beautiful day. Thank you so much for joining us. See you next time. Bye.